In a world where high school sports don't exist. Wait, no. We don't like that world. Different world, please. Ah, that's better. The Central Valley Sports Report starts now.
Good morning and happy Saturday to everybody out there. This is the Central Valley Sports Report, and you're listening to it on 1430 ESPN. I am your host, Paul Metters, live here at First String Sports, where I've done my show every single time I've been on air. This is year number four, First String Sports on Blackstone Avenue in between Herndon and Sierra. I do my show from the Letterman's Jacket Room. This is the only place I don't want to do my show. Got the ESPN 1430 sign behind me, the First String Sports sign as well. Come on down here. It's the only place where you can get your Letterman's jackets. I get here around 9 o'clock, about an hour before the show starts, and there's always people here getting their Letterman's jackets designed and what script they want, if they want a Bible verse and where they want their patches and all that good stuff. So First String Sports, big fans of high school sports in the Central section, and so are we. Let's get to the weather report by Lee's Air Plumbing and Heating, sponsored by those guys. I don't have to tell you how hot it's been the last few days, this last week. Right now it's 81 degrees, very, very nice outside. We do have a high of 102. On Monday, it's going to be our last day, hopefully, fingers crossed, in the hundreds, and then after that, it's going to be cooler, so Tuesday 94, all the way down to next Saturday, 83 degrees. Now that is fall weather to me. So thanks to Lee's Air Plumbing and Heating for sponsoring the weather report. All right, so if you're unfamiliar with the show, it's mostly about high school sports. We dabble a little bit into Fresno State, right? We're big Fresno State fans as well, but mostly high school sports. And Saturday is the perfect time for this show, in my opinion, because we got our high school games on Friday night, and then we get to talk about them on Saturday. And last night, Coach Pat Hill and I were able to broadcast the Clovis North and Central game. So a lot of storylines in this one. It's a rematch of last year's D1 championship game, won by Clovis North on their way to a 13-1 season, best in school history. Central came in at 5-0. Clovis North came in at 3-2. Clovis North's two losses, however, are to state-ranked Jay Serra, and then Los Alamitos last Saturday. It was a 1 o'clock game at Veterans Memorial Stadium. Both those teams are ranked in the top 10 right now, currently in the state. So not horrible losses as far as rankings go. However, a lot of talk. How really good is this Clovis North team? They returned two studs, a stud running back, McKay Madsen and Jackson Sinfell. Offensive line, which was a huge strength of theirs last year, graduated 4 out of 5. So how good was this team really coming into this game? And it was a road game. It was at Darren Collegian Stadium. So a lot at stake on this game. Clovis North wins 26-21. They dominated in the first quarter. They dominated the time of possession. It was 2-1 for the entire game, and that's what Clovis North does. One of the keys of the game for Central High School was to win first down, right? Everybody knows that. This schemed against Clovis North. You got to get them in second and long and third and long because they're not a passing team, they're a running team. However, Clovis North did dominate the time of possession. They won a few times on first down, got them into some second and long, third and long situations. It was 7-0 after the first quarter. McKay Madsen scored on a 3-yard touchdown run. Central was moving the ball pretty good, but Clovis North kept coming up with big stops defensively. So here's the situation. Central drove down the field, got to around the 26-yard line, maybe 28-yard line, under a minute left to play. And Clovis North had been playing a two-high safety game plan. One of the safeties was McKay Madsen. So he picked off a pass, headed into the end zone, right about the 5-yard line. So it was a little short of the end zone. And he scored on one of the most impressive plays we've seen in a long time. Intercepted it, took it down the sidelines, Central sidelines, cut, juked another guy, and then outran the entire Central team on his way to a touchdown. So that made it, the missed extra point, that made it 13-0. But Clovis North was pumped after that incredible interception pick six by McKay Madsen. our friends from the TV side, from the CW, were right next to us, Cam Worrell and Ralph Wood. And the mouths were open. I talked to Cam at halftime about that play. He's like, a 6'2", 220-pound guy should not be able to do that, talking about McKay Mattson. State shot put and discus, double winner last year. Should not be able to outrun an entire central offense. It was their offense that was on the field because it was a pick. But the dude was incredible. Incredible. Central made it a game. They went up, Clovis North went up 20-0. Central scored two touchdowns. A Jelani Dipple pass to Bayon Harris. And then a 7-yard touchdown run by Brandon Smith. But then Jackson Sinful scored on a 10-yard run late in the fourth, and Central scored a touchdown late, and North was able to recover the onside kick for the win. So, hey, Clovis North, all right, some people are like, I don't know if they're as strong as Clovis High and Central and Clovis East, but nice win for the Broncos to open up track play. They are going to be taking on Clovis North. Now, it doesn't get any easier. They're going to be playing Clovis at home at Veterans next week. And speaking of Clovis, they went 6-0, beat Buchanan 37-10. But it was a pleasure to do play-by-play for that game with Coach Pat Hill. The guy is incredible. He just loves football. And one of the great things about doing games with him is that he's always got a connection. Either a son of one of his former players is playing on the field. Former players are coming up. JD Williams came up to the press box, and God, Pat was on air. It was awesome. It was an awesome live moment. Pat Hill was on air, and those guys walked in. A couple of players, one's JD Williams, and he threw his headset down, and he's talking to those guys, giving them hugs. I lost my wingman for a little bit, but I recovered and jumped back on. But what a great guy Coach Pat Hill is, and that was a lot of fun to call that game. All right. I'm going to get into some scores in just a second. Let me just say who's coming on the show today. After the break, after I give the scores, I'm going to be talking with Gabe Camarillo about games from last night. But also, if you haven't heard, Sunnyside is in a bit of trouble. Got themselves into some issues here. Just came out last night that they had to forfeit two more games in addition to two games earlier in the week they had to forfeit. So they have a 2-4 record right now. The reason why they had to forfeit four games that they had won is because of an illegal player. And it's not an illegal player in the sense of, he was a transfer or grades and they still let him play. This is a player that played in JV games, then 45 minutes later suits up and plays in the varsity games. Yeah, you heard that right. Playing JV games. So this kid played in a JV game, 2.5-hour game, and then suited up, put on a different number, and then played in the varsity games. That's a huge no-no. Absolutely not. It's a state rule. You can't do that. And so they got caught, so they had to forfeit four games total, so they are 2-4. I'm going to be talking with Gabe Camarillo about that. He broke the two more forfeit story late last night, so I'm going to be talking with Gabe about that. Around 10:40, we got Madera's Marty Bitter. He is the director of athletics there, doing a fantastic job. Matilda Torres has a brand new football stadium we're going to talk about. They have girls flag football. Yes, girls flag football. Excited to talk to him about that. At the top of the hour, we've got Justin Garza, Coach Yosef Ferris. He's one of my favorite guys to talk to about football and life and fun stuff. So his Guardians lost a tough one to San Joaquin Memorial last night, 26-20. But he's going to be gracious enough to come in and talk about his season and all the good stuff that's happening there with his program. At the bottom of hour two, Alec Nolan, sports anchor for ABC 30, joins us for the first time, does a fantastic job with Stephen Hicks on their Friday Night Light broadcast. Starting at 11:15, I always try to make it home in time to watch their great coverage of Friday Night Light. So excited about the program today. Let me, I'm running short of time already, talk too much in my opener. Let's go over some important scores from last night, and then we'll take a break, and then we'll talk to Gabe Camarillo. In Tri-County Sequoia action, Exeter having a fine season, defeated Sierra Pacific 41-0. In CMAC action, Madera, how about them Coyotes, 59, Edison 20. We'll ask Marty Bitter the reason for some of the success at Madera High School this year. Coach Kenny Palinelli is doing a fantastic job. Sanger defeated Bullard 39-20 in East Sequoia League action. Granite Hills defeated Farmersville 44-16. Lindsay over Corcoran 28-24. Strathmore over Rosie 28-12. Woodlake over Orange Cove 55-7. Golden West shut out Mount Whitney 48-0. Trailblazers, they can put up some points. Congrats to them on the great season so far. Redwood, they got off the snide, started off 0-5. They beat Porterville 44-34 for their first win of the season. In North Yosemite action, Hoover defeated Madera 42-0. Sanger West defeated Madera South 36-14. And Sunnyside defeated Roosevelt 44-22. And that's good for their officially their second win of the season. In Northwest Sequoia action, Fowler defeated Liberty 27-17. Don't have a score for Chachilla and Riverdale. I'm pretty sure Chachilla won that one. Minarets got in a tough one with Carruthers, 45-42. Minarets now 6-0 on the season. Scroll down a bit to, there it is, Tri-County Kings Canyon. Kerman defeated Central Valley Christian 17-12. Kingsburg over Washington Union 28-14. Emmanuel remains undefeated on the season, defeating Selma 26-6. I mentioned the Clovis and Buchanan score, 37-10. The Cougars win. Clovis East all over Clovis West, 44-3. The game that we covered last night, Clovis North 26, Central 21. And West Yosemite action, Hanford over Dinuba, 43-6. Tulare Union, 49. Lemoore, 21. That sets up a huge matchup next week. Hanford and Tulare Union. That game is going to be at Hanford. Both teams are 6-0. All right, that's a little recap of some of the games that went on last night. When we come back from break, we're going to be talking with Gabe Camarillo about last night's action and about those Sunnyside forfeits. You're listening to 1430 ESPN, your local sports leader. Welcome back to Central Valley Sports Report, 1430 ESPN. Talking high school sports here on this fine Saturday morning, 82 degrees outside. We got Gabe Camarillo on the line. Gabe's been my partner in crime for a long time, talking about high school sports, broadcasting together. Now he works for Fox 26 KMPH, does a fantastic job there. So, Gabe, good morning, my friend. How are you? What are some of the games that you were able to check out last night?
I went out to Kingsburg versus Washington Union. As I understand it, that's a longtime rivalry for over 30 years. They've had breakfast together, which I think is a unique tradition, because how many times do you go from eating pancakes with one another across the table to, you know, smashing into each other, trying to squeeze the football out of each other's fingers, trying to score on each other? Hey, you know what? It was a good first quarter that I watched. Washington Union made a couple mistakes that put them behind the chains, helped Kingsburg get some stops on defense. Greg Ross had a couple big plays on both ends because I guess he is a star defensive end, got a sack. Also a stud running back, got about a 10-yard gain. And then I also heard on the sideline that he's a senior class president, so Greg Ross had it going on last night in many ways, right, on the field, off the field. And then on the field, on third and goal around the 11-yard line, Kate Holt scores an 11-yard touchdown. Kate Holt follows in the footsteps of a lot of good Kingsburg quarterbacks, Ethan Winslow, Max Workington, but I think Holt's doing it his own way. He is an athletic quarterback. He is able to get the ball out to his playmakers. From what I saw last night, he looks like a type of quarterback that can lead Kingsburg to a league title, and sure enough, they started league play with a 28-14 win over Union. And then I drove up Highway 99 to Selma. I needed to check out the Selma Bears, who have a good start to the season. I think this is one of the better starts they've had in the last couple of years since Matt Logue left. But they're going up against a team that had an even better start, the 5-0 Emmanuel Eagles. And when I got there in the second quarter, it was still scoreless. But I saw Emmanuel's quarterback, Vincent Rosander, with a couple big throws, move Emmanuel down to around the goal line and give it to their guy. I'm blanking on his name right now. Bolt, last name Bolt. That's his 12th touchdown of the season. So I was like, wow, this guy has 12 touchdowns, and this is what, the 6th game they played? That's about 2 touchdowns a game. He's having a good season, obviously. And then they went on for that touchdown to beat Selma by 20. So, yeah, Emmanuel 6-0. Kingsburg, they're 3-3, but they have a big one against CVC next week that could go a long way to determining their league title race. And as far as Emmanuel's concerned, I think it's going to be them and Exeter for the Tri-County Sequoia. So,
yeah, that
a bit of a update on my game.
Yeah, so Emmanuel and Exeter, I believe that's going to be the last game of the season. So, yeah, good win by the Eagles, good win by the Vikings. And some of my students, Gabe, were at that Kingsburg game. Some of my Traver kids, they were running out on the field. They had a mascot contest at some of the other schools there. I don't know if you're able to see that. So that was a really cool deal for some of our students. Kingsburg, man, they do a lot of things right with the homecoming and with the traditions that they have. I like that pancake thing with Washington Union, right? It's kind of gives a new meaning to the word pancake, like a pancake block and eating some flapjacks in the morning. So good stuff. All right, Gabe, were you surprised at all? And we're going to talk about the Sunnyside forfeits after this, but were you surprised at all by the Central and Clovis North game? Clovis North beating the Grizzlies. Ended up being 26-21, but it was a 20-0 game, then it was 20-14, then 26-14, and then a last minute touchdown for the Grizzlies. But were you surprised by that score?
In hindsight, I'm not surprised, but I was one of quite a few that picked Central to win because we just figured Central's 5-0. They look good in their five wins. They beat Liberty convincingly the last time we saw them. And so we just figured, you know, this Central team could be the team that hands Clovis North their first sectional loss in almost 2 years. But we were wrong because Clovis North has a veteran defense. They have McKay Mattson. As long as you have those two things, I feel like you can beat anyone in the track, and Clovis North proved that. Because that veteran defense held Central down scoreless through the first half. Central really didn't get going until the fourth quarter. And because of that defense, Clovis North was able to take their time on offense, wait for the big plays to come to them. They even had a fake punt with McKay Mattson. That was huge, along with that pick six. So I feel like Clovis North, with that recipe of defense and running, it doesn't matter who the quarterback is. I think that's why a lot of people picked against Clovis North, because the quarterback situation, they've been using two of them. They weren't sure if that would hold the Broncos back. We learned last night it did not. And as long as the quarterback continues to get game reps under their belt, whichever one, right? They're both sophomores. I think that only means good things for Clovis North. But they don't have a very easy start to track play, because right after they beat one of the best teams in the Valley in Central, they face another one of them in Clovis.
Yeah, that's going to be a really good game next week as well. Davis Wilson was the sophomore quarterback who started for Clovis North and did a good job running the offense. All right, Gabe, so let's switch to this unfortunate situation that's happening at Sunnyside High School and Fresno Unified. I learned this morning, that Sunnyside had to forfeit two more games in addition to the two games that they had to forfeit last week. So Reedley, Ridgeview, McLean, and Madera South were wins on the field, but forfeit losses. So they are now 2-6, and the reason is because of an ineligible player that reportedly played in both the JV games, and it's still crazy for me to utter these out loud, and then played in the varsity games. Changed numbers, and there is actually an official statement made to the Fresno Bee. Anthony Galavis wrote an article. Wildcats coach Tim Thomas Wilson said it was an oversight and we have made sure it does not happen again. It did not give us a competitive advantage in any way. We are focused on the rest of our season. I got a lot of thoughts on that, Gabe, but when you read that and then when you found out that two more forfeit losses, what are your thoughts and what do you know about the situation?
So it was, as you said, a JV player who played on the varsity team. And I thought to myself, well, that just doesn't make sense because it doesn't give anyone any advantage. And this was also a violation that Sunnyside self-reported. It wasn't like another school went to CIF and made it obvious. From what I understand, this was Sunnyside going to CIF and saying, this was our mistake, okay? And it didn't come down to CIF coming to Sunnyside. It came down to Sunnyside self-reporting it, which I'm sure helped in some ways in terms of punishment, because, you know, it's better to be honest than to try hiding it. So Sunnyside was honest, and it was a violation of an important rule. You should not have two games for one player in one day just for a safety reason, let alone, you know, just overall the numbers aspect of it. You're taking away a roster spot from a varsity kid if you're giving it to a JV kid. And how does that varsity kid feel? I think there's a lot of things that are wrong with this, but none of that has to do with competitiveness on the field, right? This did not help Sunnyside win. It's not like they used a kid older than what the birth certificate said. It's not like they cheated. This is just a mistake and a violation of the rules. And so I actually think forfeits is kind of harsh. I don't know about you, Paul, but there had to be a different punishment because this is the players, right? The players earned those wins on the field. This is a coach's mistake, but you're punishing the players more than the coaches by having the record at 2-4 than 6-0.
Well, it wasn't a violation as far as, you know, transfers or the papers didn't get in on time or they missed the grades but played them anyway, right? It wasn't anything like that. So I just have a difficult time understanding, you know, what goes on in a football game. Gabe, you and I have watched a lot of football games over the years, and the coaches, they know what players are warming up. They know what players are on the field. I mean, according to this, they didn't know the situation. It was an oversight. I don't know how you can play a kid and say, oh, who is that kid right there? You got a coach warming up. Didn't that kid play in the JV game? It's unfathomable. Right, I don't understand how you could not know it's the same kid. It doesn't make sense. And you changing numbers. There's films on that where the kid is wearing different numbers for the JV and the varsity game. So, an oversight. I have just a lot of problems with that verbiage and that phrasing. To me, it can't be an oversight. The coaches, you ask every coach, they know exactly what players are suiting up. Sometimes schools have 8 to 10 to 12 coaches on the field in charge of different areas, in charge of kickoffs, in charge of defense, linebackers even, receivers. They know who's in the huddle. They know who's in the pregame meetings and all that. It doesn't make sense to me.
And none of what you just said involved the players making this mistake. It was all the coaches. Who do you think it punishes more, Paul, to forfeit four games? Does it punish Thomas Wilson or does it punish Tanner Wilson and TJ and Malik?
Yeah,
and all
the guys it punishes the program. Yeah, it punishes the entire program and the school.
I would say it punishes the players more because, yeah, the coaches made the mistake, but had nothing to do with helping Sunnyside win those games. It was the great plays and athleticism of Sunnyside's offense, and it was the stinginess of Sunnyside's defense that helped them beat a really good McLean team and had those big blowout wins over Ridley and Ridgeview and Madera South. And so I don't know if these coaches at those schools want to win this way. Would you really want to win by having Sunnyside have a JV player on varsity? Like, yeah, your record looks better, but do you feel like a 6-0 team if your one loss is given as a forfeit? I don't know.
Well, that's the part I don't get. That's the part I don't get. I'm blown away by it. I don't understand. I mean, you got a good team. This team's been building up for this season. You have a 4-year starter as a quarterback. So why take any chances? Why not be so diligent in your work that this type of oversight does not happen? This is almost unprecedented. I've never heard of a player playing in a JV game and then playing in a varsity game, right? I mean, you think about basketball. There's no way you could do that in basketball, right? I mean, the court's right in front of you. There's no helmets, right? It's right there. You would know. But in football, you could hide it a little bit more. So I just don't understand. It says there are no competitive advantage, then why even, you know, chance suiting up the kid? I mean, the coaches have to know their personnel they have on the field.
Yeah, I'm not going to pretend to understand why this happened. I'm not going to excuse it, but I am going to have a problem with the four forfeit losses. It's a violation of the rule. That's why they exist. But it's not like this led to Sunnyside winning the game. And if I'm a coach on the other team, I don't feel good getting a win that way. I wanted my kids to earn it. And I might say I'm a 7-3 team when I'm really a 6-4 team. Or I have a problem with the coaches being okay with this on the other sideline. They should have said, you know what? It didn't affect the game. No need to forfeit. But I don't think they said that. I think obviously somebody had to forfeit four games.
Yeah, it's a tough situation all the way around. CIF did come down and made those forfeits official. I've been involved in some of those myself as a coach and as an athletic director, and believe me, it is no fun. A lot of sleepless nights and back and forth and talking to people that you trust for sure. So Gabe, it's an unfortunate situation, but it's official. Sunnyside is 2-4 on the season, and I did hear that it's not going to affect their standings in Cal Prep in the playoffs moving forward, so there's that as well. All right, Gabe, what are you looking forward to? You got about another minute here. What are you looking forward to next week? You mentioned that Clovis North and Clovis game. Are there any other games or even Fresno State that you're looking forward to next week?
I think Hanford and Tulare Union play next week against each
other. They do, yep.
And those are 2-6-0 teams. If there's a team that can beat Hanford in that league, I believe it's Tulare Union, because last year when these teams played, Tulare Union was in that game for 3.5 quarters, and it only got away from them at the end because of turnovers. They just turned the ball over too much. Hanford scored almost every time they got the takeaway. I don't think Tulare makes those same mistakes. They're a year older. They're a year better. I think this could be a shootout. I don't see a lot of defensive stops, but I do think it will come down to one. Someone has to finally get a stop. And I think Union's defense has looked pretty impressive this year. I saw Hanford once. Hanford gave up 34 to Sanger. I think Tulare and Sanger are pretty much on the same level. So if that game against Sanger for Hanford was close, then the game against Union for Hanford will be even closer.
I agree, and we're going to be there for it. We're going to be broadcasting the Hanford and Tulare game on 1430. I cannot wait. Gabe, good stuff as always. Thanks for coming in on short notice. I really appreciate you, my friend. Have a good rest of the weekend.
All right. Thank you, Paul.
That was Gabe Camarillo. Yep. Lots of stuff about the Sunnyside situation, right? There's lots of angles, and that's right. It's on one hand, it's no fun to receive a forfeit win. Don't feel great about it, but that's what CIF says. It's 2-4 for Sunnyside officially. So lots more to discuss about that, but we're going to be talking with Marty Bitter, the director of athletics at Madera Unified, about all the great stuff that's happening in Madera. Can't wait to talk to Marty. That's coming up next on 1430 ESPN. That was, all right, welcome back. Central Valley Sports Report, 1430 ESPN. Had a nice spirited conversation with Gabe Camarillo. Spirited conversations are always good, right? Pretty exciting. I've been looking forward to this conversation with Marty Bitter for a while. He's the director of athletics at Madera Unified. I know the last name. His son and daughter are excellent athletes. And what this is, so what, three members now of the Bitter family have been on the show?
That's right.
Is that true?
Three members,
true story?
Yeah, and me being the last or the third.
And
take care of the important things first.
The kids. So you are an empty nester officially, Braden's.
Braden is down at Cal State Fullerton and loving it. I think he's already kind of hinted at us that probably won't be coming home. Peyton's at Fresno State. She's a heptathlete there, and she moved out this year too and is loving it. So, yeah, my wife and I are kind of – it took a couple weeks to kind of get back in the fold, but we're enjoying it.
Breakfast, dinner time, you guys, yeah, able to share those moments together. Look across the way and like, oh, yeah, my wife, my husband, hi, how are you?
You know, and the beauty of, you know, there's not nearly as much laundry. We're not washing dirty football gear. And there's no dishes sitting in the sink when we get home from a day's work. So there's some real positives.
Absolutely. All right. So last night you were able to check out Madera. It was their homecoming. How do you decide which games – to go to, first of all?
That's a good question. Each week, you know, last week was the first time we had all three teams were at home last night. So homecoming kind of determined that. I try to even it out personally and try to get to each high school an equitable amount of times. You know, I do stand on Friday mornings a lot of times in the closet and kind of stare at my clothes and figure out
which one today, huh?
What I want to wear today. Yeah, because it's not easy if you go to this one school to watch a game and you're not in the right colors.
That would not be a good look, literally.
Yeah, it's not good.
Not a good look. So last night, Madera comes out with a 59-20 win over Edison. I believe they're 5-1 on the season. Coach Kenny Palinelli does a fantastic job. He loves football. He's a football guy through and through. So what's been impressive about that football team for you?
You know, Kenny is born and raised in Madera. He actually played for me when he was in middle school, so I absolutely adore him. And he eats, sleeps, and drinks Madera. And he's done a heck of a job He is very transformational. He loves kids, and we've noticed, obviously, over the years that he's been there. I want to say it's about 7 years now. Just the numbers increase, right? And not only at the high school, but the number increases at his middle school, Thomas Jefferson. So that program is very, very healthy. I want to say they got, 60 kids on the varsity. They got, probably 140 kids, close to 140 kids in the program between JV and varsity. We would have a freshman team, but there's just not that many freshman teams out there anymore. So we've combined them. But he's got some really good kids. You know, Ariano's been in the program for 3 years, started for 3 years now, and he's got some really good pieces. So they're rolling.
So you mentioned earlier trying to get to three stadiums, and last night all three had home games. So how cool is that all three of the high schools, Madera South, Matilda, and the original Madera High School, have their own stadiums?
It is special. It was tough. Obviously we were blessed when we opened up Madera South. I had the privilege and the honor to do that. But it's always tough when you have to play in somebody else's stadium or you don't have a stadium on your campus. And you always feel like you're the away team taking all your stuff and, all that kind of stuff. So now with three of our teams, all three of our high schools, huge shout out to our district leadership and Superintendent Todd Lyle and our school board for putting an emphasis not only in athletics but in facilities, and for all three high schools to have their own place to call home. They love it. Now, when that was the first time last night in our history where we've had all three of them home on a Friday night, and that puts a strain a little bit on our people, as far as our security and medic personnel, but it worked out and we came out okay.
Matilda Torres Stadium, I've seen pictures. You sent me pictures and videos of that. Just describe just what it looks like and everything that went into building that stadium.
Well, I'll tell you, it was quite a process. And I think as you go through, we've built several buildings or complexes over the last several years. And I think each time you do it, you learn from your previous mistakes and you get a little better. And I think Torres Stadium is kind of the crown jewel at this time. It is absolutely spectacular. It was about a 5-year process. This is the first team, this is going to be the third graduating class, but the first program, varsity program, to be able to play in their own stadium. So some other kids, other classes paved the way for them and didn't get the opportunity, but these kids are enjoying it. Now I know, Coach isn't having quite the year that he would have liked, but nonetheless, they show up, they play hard every Friday night, and the kids come out, and the culture at that school, that place comes alive on Friday nights, and it's a great place to be. But just the way the stadium is set up, not only is the turf and all of that fantastic, but just being able to have snack bars that service multiple venues, the visitor site snack bar services our varsity softball program on one side, football on the other. Our home side snack bar does the same thing with the baseball program. We have beautiful custom weight rooms underneath, custom locker rooms for the kids. There's a training room under there, so whenever we have an issue, we can get a kid right off the field and medic personnel right there. So it's set up really, really well, and it's our community has taken a lot of pride in it.
Chatting with Marty Bitter, the director of athletics at Madera Unified. All right, so let's try to get a visual image here of the three stadiums last night. So three sets of lights, right? I'm just trying to picture like a helicopter or a drone, just with that. You look for the lights at any high school on Friday night, and you're going to find a game. So where are each of the stadiums located and each of the three high school campuses? Just kind of help me out, give a visual of where they're located.
I guess if you kind of looked at Madera from above, now Madera High and Madera South are a mile from each other, literally. So those two stadiums kind of light up each other, and they're separated by Stadium Road. So I would say those two schools are probably on the southwest portion of Madera. And then Torres is actually north portion of Madera, the farthest north of Madera, and east of the 99, in between Road 6 or Avenue 16 and Avenue 17. And a lot of people are familiar with Madera Municipal Golf Course, and so that's Avenue 17. So you kind of have a kind of picture of where that's at. Yeah, and I think, you know, the next one will be more northeast of Madera as we grow into. Now that's several years away, but I could see that area of town needing one as well.
The next one. All right, a little hint right there. The next
well,
one.
Well, we're talking probably well after my time.
So the feeder programs at Madera Unified, and obviously, you know, your son and daughter went to Clovis North, but the feeder programs, Clovis Unified, well documented the success for that. So what are feeder programs looking like at Madera?
Well, I think in the last 2 years, we've made significant strides, and we're seeing it. Now, we were blessed to hire James Gambrell. Last year was his first year, and he runs our CARD department, which is our Community Athletics and Recreation Department. We use our expanded learning, federally funded grant monies, and we've really invested in our athletic programs. So he has came in and designed programs. Most people are familiar with Little Hoopsters programs. We have that out in Madera now, but not only do we have Little Hoopsters, but we've done wrestling, we've done girls grass volleyball, we did futsal. Right now we're doing flag football. We're getting ready to go into cheer and tumbling, which will increase our gymnastics program. We're getting ready to go into splash ball and do some aquatic stuff. And all of that takes place generally similar to Little Hoopsters, where they would play, you know, four or five Saturdays. And James's program kind of funds all of that. So all of our kids get to participate in those things for free. And they walk out of there with, you know, a gear, you know, a T-shirt or whatever, a uniform or a football or whatever the case may be. All of our coaches end up coaching those programs, and you know, they are able to receive a stipend. So no longer, you know, it's another way of kind of helping our coaches with all the time that they put in. And and then at the end of it, regarding how many kids they get involved, their program is able to receive some fundraising money, basically, that they can use for certain things within their program. So it's a win-win. And when you combine our elementary athletic program, which we have eight programs. Right now we're doing basketball, boys and girls basketball. We've purposely set up our elementary program so that our fourth, fifth, and sixth graders, our fourth graders are able to compete in wrestling, cross country, and track, and fifth and sixth, and all of our other sports. But those kids can kind of double their bang for their buck, so to speak. So they come out and they, you know, are able to play 5 weeks or 4 or 5 weeks in our elementary athletic program, and then that rolls over into the CARD, where they come on weekends and get to work out with our high schools. And then from that, we're able to start building our AAU programs and our club programs. So the last 2 years, we've talked to all of our coaches about articulation. And to us, that's the key. That's a piece that was missing for us, where our high school coaches are more involved with our middle schools and our elementary schools. And we do have a lot of turnover with our elementary coaches. Usually they're teachers on site. But now the way we have it structured, our high school coaches are able to work with them. Even if they don't have any experience coaching the sport, they're able to learn, you know, emphasize what fundamental skills they want them to learn. We're not so much interested in the offenses and defenses we run in fifth and sixth grade, but it's more the foundational skills and understanding the game better, and creating an interest, right, in that particular program. So right now I'm super excited, more excited actually than I've ever been with regards to our elementary programs. And I think, you know, in another, I could see, you know, generally most of these projects take 3 to 5 years to kind of reap any of the benefits, but our numbers are really increasing, and I, you know, I tell all the coaches all the time, it's a math program. I mean, it's a math problem, really. You know, if our pool of athletes is much larger, I'm going to have more athletes to choose from, right? And so that's kind of what our goal is. With all that being said, Paul, you know, at the end of the day, athletics is a connector. And our goal is to utilize athletics to connect kids to school. And not only that, but when they are participating, you know, they academically they're sound. They have to come to school every day. They behave. The graduation rates go up. So at the end of the day, it's a win-win for everybody.
I agree. Absolutely. And one thing that you mentioned I definitely want to talk about is flag football. So girls flag football in your district has, I don't know, for lack of a better word, has it exploded, right? Just kind of tell us where you're at. And I hear have you done that trip to SoCal you were telling me about earlier, trip to SoCal with three teams? I think three
yes.
of your teams are going to go.
Yeah.
Has that happened yet, or
yep.
is that coming up? Or?
Yeah, no, we went
Talk
a couple weeks ago to Pioneer Valley.
All right.
You know, getting back, I'm blessed to work with the state CIF, right? And this is my seventh year on the exec board, and I would say during that time we've, you know, added a lot of state sports. We've added sports. We've added bylaws. I never saw anything like when we were going to add flag football. You know, we showed up at our federated council. Most people knew it was going to be a unanimous vote because it was something that's on the radar and really, really wanted, and girls are excited about it. But at that meeting, the Los Angeles Rams showed up. The Los Angeles Chargers showed up. The news media from Southern California was there, and that has never happened for any of our bills or bylaws or sports that we've passed. And that's when, to me, the light came on, like, this is
big. You
know, this is big. Yeah, this is like throwing a match into a dry field, right? It's just going to take off. Nike offered the state $250,000 for teams any school. They were going to scholarship them and give them approximately $1,000 if they would start. This is going back to last spring. If you could start a girls flag football program by this fall, right, this current season that we're in. So that was a no-brainer for me, because the way I look at it is when we survey our kids, the girls wanted to play. Mm-hmm. And there's not many teams in the Central Valley, right? Far more northern and over on the Central Coast. And so I took a proposal to our superintendent's executive committee. We ended up, there were so many teams that wanted the scholarship. We weren't one that was chosen. But before we even knew the outcome, you know, our superintendent and the executive cabinet said, you know what, it doesn't matter, we're starting this. It wasn't overly expensive. We have the fields and the prep and all this kind of stuff, yardage markers. It wasn't a huge expense. And they said, actually, you know what, we're going to start at the middle school. And there's nobody in California, to my knowledge, that has middle school programs. But we wanted to give our kids an opportunity. So we started out with one team, 30 uniforms. And immediately we would have 50 to 60 girls at each of our teams. So the wow. hope now is to grow it. You know, next year we hope to maybe have a JV and a varsity and a seventh grade and an eighth grade team. I just talked to John Perez, who's the director of athletics in Visalia Unified. And he said, hey, I want to hit you up about middle school flag football. And so I think it's going to grow. You mentioned going to the Central Coast. Anthony Morales had all of our teams, so we went over there and played Pioneer Valley, Lompoc, and Santa Maria. And all three of our high schools got to go over there. They fed all the kids. You know, the kids got to go to the beach for the day. And for me, it's very important, not just for me, but for all of our athletic directors. When our three schools get together, it just brings back, you know, even though we have three high schools, we're one community. And those kids get together and they have a great time together. And, you know, the reality of it is they're really good. It's fun
it's
to
good
watch.
Football. Flag football is so fun.
It's so fun. And, you know, this year what we did on the Stadium Road Showdown, we moved our JV game to Thursday night. And on that Friday night of our rivalry game, we played girls varsity flag football. And then we played the Stadium Road Showdown. And, you know, that way the community sees it. You know, they keep wanting to – they've wanted to see it over and over, and So anyways, it's wonderful for us. The girls are loving it. The coaches love coaching it. And I've been out to several games, and it's fun. It's amazing, you know, the offensive plays that they run and their understanding of football.
That's awesome. That is so great to hear. We got another 30 seconds or here. Coach, are you coaching at all? Are your coaching days are totally over?
Totally over, yeah. Totally over. I wasn't skilled enough to be an athletic director and a coach like some of these guys are. So,
good stuff.
Yeah, it's been great. So.
Well, always appreciate you. You're quick to text me back if I have questions, and it was fun watching your son last year play for Clovis North, and I appreciate all those updates you would send me on the away games. Great stuff is happening at Madera Unified, and I know you're a humble guy, but you're a huge part of it. It's great hearing those stories about Madera High School and the flag football stuff. So really appreciate you coming on and letting us know what's all the good stuff is happening, Marty.
No worries. Thank you so much for having me, and from the bottom of my heart, I know I speak for many, but thank you for all you do for high school sports. Used to be we could go look at the Fresno Bee many, many years ago, and if it wasn't for people like yourself that promote us so much, I don't know where, you know, our kids would get the notoriety. So thanks for all you do.
Thank you. I appreciate that. We got Yosef Ferris, the head coach at Justin Garza, coming up next. You're listening to Central Valley Sports Report on 1430 ESPN.
In a world where high school sports don't exist. Wait, no. We don't like that world. Different world, please. Ah, that's better. The Central Valley Sports Report starts now.
Welcome back to the Central Valley Sports Report. There we go. All right, back on track. I am your host, Paul Metters, live here at First String Sports on Blackstone Avenue. Come on down here. There's tons of people in here already, not just Letterman's jackets, but anything you can ask for related to sports world. I used to bring those chairs. So they got those portable chairs with, you know, I'm looking at Fowler and Selma logos on it. There's Clovis North, Clovis in the background. All kinds of good stuff here at First String Sports. Make sure you guys check it out. It's a beautiful day out there. Yeah, it's going to hit 100 degrees, but we'll get over that. So hopefully, 83 by next week. Had a good conversation with Marty Bitter, the director of athletics at Madera Unified. Could have talked a lot more to him. Lots of good stuff happening there. And I'm going to bring in now a guy that got to know more and more each year, the last 4 years or so, Yosef Ferris, who's the head coach at Justin Garza High School, here live at First String Sports on this Saturday. How you doing, my friend?
I'm doing well, Paul. Thank you for having me. It's always a pleasure coming on the show.
Thanks. We just love to talk football, life, anything and everything that comes in our mind. So last week, you had a bye week, and different coaches, you know, use that bye week for different. Maybe they hold a practice, or maybe they hold a team meeting or workouts or whatever. But you were able to take advantage of it with your family, right, and get away for a little bit. So what did you guys were
yeah,
able
so,
to do?
Well, we played Lone Polk on Thursday before. So that Friday, we took off, and we headed to Pismo for a little getaway. Because, you know, I was gone all summer and really didn't get a summer to myself and to be with the family. So we kind of used that little break right there, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, to get away and go to Pismo and hang out. We went and watched Rigetti and Arroyo Grande play. You know, Rustin Pickett's a friend of mine, so I wanted to watch them play. And got to sit in the stands and be a fan for a little bit. But it was a nice little getaway.
You got some food choices there, some go-to places you got to get. What do you?
I do.
Yeah.
Well, obviously the clam chowder, and then Woolies. We love to go to Woolies and sit out there and fish tacos and just all their sandwiches, their lobster main roll, and then the Sea Venture, I think, is an underrated hotel restaurant. I think it's one of the best little restaurants that no one really goes to, but the Sea Venture has a really good restaurant on top of their roof.
Overlooking the ocean.
Yeah.
What do the kids eat?
Well,
chicken. It's usually chicken.
Dino nuggets.
That's it.
Dino
right?
nuggets and mac and cheese and corn dogs. So
times never change.
Sometimes we got to just microwave some stuff and bring it in a Ziploc for them.
That's right. Avoid the, you know, whatever, $7.99, $8.99 for kids' meals. And, yeah, they're going to eat a couple pieces. I've been there, done that. All right, let's talk a little football here. So last night, playing San Joaquin Memorial to open CMAC play. Guys fell 26-20. Just kind of walk us through that game. Did you guys have a lead? Did they come back, or how did that game unfold?
So they scored first with a touchdown long run by Bell, who's an amazing athlete over there, the Central transfer, and they missed their extra point. We came back and scored, so it was 7-6, and then they had two more long runs with Bell, but they're a good football team. That quarterback, he's a freshman. He's going to be an issue for some people as he gets older and gets developed. Really good with his feet. You know, I think they've done a good job over there. You know, they kind of bounce back. They're a physical football team, and they're getting back to some of their Memorial ways. And, you know, that was a good football team, Division I, Double A. And so it was a good test for us to open up. You know, we have some things that we need to correct on our end. Get some guys healthy as we make a run for the rest of the CMAC.
So two losses at the beginning of the year, Central and Bakersfield. Both those teams, what are they combined now? 11-1?
Yeah.
I mean. 11-1. And then you got a nice three-game win streak, Kerman, Washington Union, and Lompoc, like you mentioned. So two of those ones were really, really tight.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the Kerman and Union games, right? And
right.
You beat Lompoc 47-7, I believe. So what did you like about the turnaround in those games?
Well, what I liked is that our team, you know, faced a ton of adversity the first two games, and you know, when you're a young teenage, you know, boy becoming a man, you can really let adversity affect you in a negative way, and our coaches did a tremendous job of keeping the team together and really focusing them in and honing them in, and I'm super proud of the way our boys fought through that. And killed the outside noise and just really stuck together. You know, we talk about family. It stands for forget about me, I love you. And so that's kind of our mantra. And one of our pillars is togetherness. And so from where these kids have been, because, you know, these seniors are the ones that were freshmen when we first opened, they have grown in the way that they handle adversity. Before it would be a bickering session or it's something that would tear something apart, but now they've stuck together. And you know, that three game win streak, you know, we lost our quarterback Caleb in week two, so that's another adversity chip on our table. And you know, we just now it's just like, okay, what's the next thing? We'll fight through that and we'll keep going. And I'm really super proud of the way our kids have handled adversity this year.
So you mentioned Caleb Matthews. It's a kid that I've really enjoyed watching football. What's his status right now?
So he's you know, he's been getting some tests on his calf, and you know, he's working through that, and they got an MRI tomorrow actually, and we'll get some more information then. But there's something that happened with his calf muscle and the nerves in there, and it's been really tough on him and his family because he's such a competitor. And And he wants to be out there, but he's been a great teammate, and he's sticking around. And, you know, Bowden Smith, the guy that stepped in his place, is a tremendous talent as well. You know, we're blessed to have both of those guys in that room. And Bowden's taken over and is a leader and has put the team on his back and is doing really well. And Caleb's doing really well in mentoring him and being a good teammate. And, yeah, we're blessed to have both of those guys right now.
Well, it's not surprising to hear that Caleb is still involved, right?
Yeah.
I can't see him doing any other thing, right?
Right.
So offensively, like, how has that changed game plan? Like, you know, like the new kid that's come in, is he, you know, are you guys, you know, more running the ball more? Or you kind of stick to the same type of game plan, passing the football?
Well,
what's been different?
I think talent-wise, they both have strengths in the same areas. I think team-wise, though, you know, our strength offensively right now is our offensive line. They're pretty physical, and our running back Lee Williams can do some good things. Also, that running back room too, you know, Lee Williams, Elijah Maldonado, and Samir Muhammad. They do a great job of running the ball. And we have two tight ends that can get some things done. And so we've just circumstance of roster spots, we've kind of become more of a run first team, but, you know, we still have the ability to spread it out and throw the ball because we still got like Amari Bogan out there who can change a game. And, you know, those tight ends, Caden Owens and Sam Chaddick, can make some things happen. And so it's a good group. So, I mean, we can do both. We're trying to stay balanced. But we do know that we can, up front-wise, we got some pretty good guys that can move people.
Talking with Yosef Ferris, the head coach at Justin Garza. So you mentioned you were away a lot this last summer. Again, this has been your third time that you've been involved with the NFL's Bill Walsh Diversity Coaching Fellowship Program. Previous 2 years in Atlanta with the Falcons, this year with the Bears.
Yep.
Again, I asked you last year how awesome it was. I love to hear the story. So new team, but what was the experience like, and what did you learn? And give me some good stories, man.
It was this one was more intense because I was there for 7 weeks. So I was there for mandatory mini camp and rookie mini camp, and then I came back for training camp and was there through the first three games, and you know. Going in a third time, you kind of know what to expect. And so it's a job interview pretty much the whole time. And so you got to be on your P's and Q's, and you got to get noticed in a very competitive environment. And so I was able to kind of know the ins and outs of things. And so I was able to make some early impressions in mini camp. And so when we got back for training camp, there was a lot of responsibility that was put on me that I was part of the staff.
You're literally coaching.
Oh yeah, like I made cut-ups for the first four games of their regular season of their offensive line, and broke them down by pass sets and blitzes and stunts and those deals. And then I was in charge of drawing third down passing cards for the scout team for their preseason games. And you know, I was in charge of third down efficiency, and it was this time around is like there was much more trust. And, you know, the first two times it was awesome. You got to learn. You did have a little bit here and there, but a lot of those guys with the Bears had heard from other coaches in the NFL, from the Falcons. And so when I walked in the building, they had already known who I was because it's such a tight knit group. Plus, you had two coaches that were there from Atlanta, John Hoke, who's the DB coach, and then Matt Pease, who was the linebacker coach in Atlanta and is now the basically defensive analyst special assignment coach for Eberflus. And so they were able to speak to me too and kind of vouch for me. And so it felt like I was part of the staff out there and not just a guy hanging around trying to learn and find my way. It was an amazing experience. A lot of ties to Fresno State too,
yeah. From
Jethro Franklin out there. Cause Andre Curtis, who's the safeties coach, coached with Jethro at the Seahawks. And so did Travis Smith, coached with him in the Raiders. And then Ken Norton's son is out there. They call him K3. He he basically grew up around Jethro with USC and those deals. So it was cool to get to know them and get to kind of get the Fresno State connection. And yeah, it was an amazing experience. It was really fun seeing the Hard Knocks and all that.
Yeah.
You know, I was the behind the scenes of that. It was cool. It was really cool. Very blessed.
Jalen Johnson.
I was in the room with him because I was with the DBs. What a great, great guy. And he's the man in that building. You know, he is the man. And he's got such a chip on his shoulder right now because he probably is one of the best corners in the league, if not the best. And he wants to prove it. So just his work ethic, the way he studies film, the way he leads his teammates, and the way he's just so knowledgeable of just from that position. Just he's a master of the craft. He's a good guy. As soon as I got there, he came up to me and we started talking. And he sat next to me and we talked about all kinds of stuff from Fresno. You know, obviously he's a Central alum, so we talked about game one. And he went out of his way to make me feel comfortable there, which is a sign of a good character and a good man. So, no, I'm a super fan of Jalen Johnson.
I think we all are, especially hearing stories like that. I haven't heard a bad thing about that kid, you know, since he's been at Central. Obviously, Coach Big speaks highly of him as well. Were you Were you there for preseason games too? Did I miss that?
I was there for the first three preseason games. Okay. Now, I didn't travel with the team because of the Hard Knocks deal, but I was there with them. So that was kind of like a day off for me. It was unfortunate when I was with the Falcons, I got to go to the games, but because Hard Knocks was taking up so much space and they were travel games and they played that Hall of Fame game, there just wasn't enough room for the interns to ride on that one. So
was it a money issue too? Like how, no, you even got, know how that
they,
works?
They got enough money.
HBO, right? It's HBO yeah. money. Like,
well, no, just for, just, I'm talking about the Bears in general, okay. but yeah, HBO, but they've traveled with the team cause they're videotaping and stuff like that. They're videotaping everything. So
what is that like? Like what's the talk among everyone? Like, oh, there's the camera there. You got, you know, just,
well, they're sneaky.
They are.
Oh, they'll sneak up right behind you and you don't even know. And then you'll see the boom pop up. And then they'll mic people up and you know, it's, they do make you forget that they're there.
Okay.
I was on, the first episode when Nick Saban came in and when he walked into the DB room, I'm sitting there and there's my face and that's an interesting story, but, that camera's in the corner of the room and it's videotaping everything. So it's like, you don't even know. It's like, that was such a cool moment for me that it got captured on HBO. And you know, me meeting Nick Saban, who's a guy that I looked up to my whole career. It was pretty cool deal, but they don't get in the way. There's so many cameras out there anyways, yeah. just from the Bears media, you know, but they have all their NFL film stuff on. So you kind of see that, but they stay out of the way, but they'll get the shots they need.
Nick Saban, obviously, he's doing a fantastic job on game day, and you just see his personality now, right? You would normally just see him after games, and you'd be complaining after a win, and you're like, "Come on, is this guy ever happy? Right, ready to get after another year after he wins a national title?" And then, you know, you hear that about Belichick too. He's got a great personality, and you see it now where, you know, the spotlight's kind of off these guys as far as wins and losses and that pressure that you feel as a coach. Now you just talk football and cut loose. Right.
Well, it's like what Jimmy Johnson said. He said, I hated the guy I had to be the Dallas Cowboys head coach. You know, you just got to be a different person because you're in charge of a lot of different things. You're in charge of a lot of different personalities. You have to set the standard every day. So that takes a special kind of guy. You know, that takes a guy that can embrace that role. And it might not be natural for him, but a guy that can embrace that role and kind of knows what they have to do. You know, that's in the NFL. That's what they were saying, that the loneliest room is the head coach's room and the coordinator's room. Because you don't really get that bonding with the position coaches like you do when you go into other people's rooms. Because you're leading men, you know, and you're leading, you're setting the standard and you're kind of just, you're pushing everybody to be the best they can be.
Well, they say that about presidents, CEOs, pastors. They say the same thing, yeah. right? They're the loneliest people that's out there.
Yeah. It's tough. And, you know, you when you're in a leadership role, you don't know it until you know it, until you're in it. It takes a special kind of person, you know, to be able to weather all that. Because everything bad's coming at you, you know. So it's like you got to deal with all those fires. And Nick Saban actually said it one time. He said, no matter what profession you're in, you're going to have to put fires out. You know, there's always going to be problems. You just have to, when you know you've gotten the right job, you enjoy it. You don't enjoy putting those fires out, but you don't let those fires get to you mentally. You know how to put them out. You're ready for them. You're weathered for them. And so, yeah, being a leader is not easy.
Certainly isn't. Certainly. And it's a problem solving job, right? When you are in charge of people and charge of kids or even adults, it's a lot of problem solving. That's most of the job, unfortunately, in a lot of ways. You're a Buller grad, mm-hmm. and you've been around the Central Valley a long time. You've been in contact with a lot of people, got a nice network of coaches. Like, back when you played, or maybe even when you began your coaching career, did it feel like those times were simpler than it is, right? Those are just simple times where you just kind of showed up and coached or showed up and played compared to what maybe the landscape of high school sports is today.
You know, I think, I don't know, because, you know, Arax was my head coach. So we were up at 6 a.m. working out, and we had double days. And there was Fresno State camp, which was a padded camp. I don't know. I think it was tougher when I played.
All right.
I mean, we remember California switched that law around where you can't hit until August you know, that last week of July, first week of August, where, as I remember playing, we had a Buller contact camp right before Fresno State camp, which was an amazing camp where you went and you scrimmaged all these teams. You had practices. You know, Bishop Gorman would come down. We'd play against them. I think from a workload standpoint, it was much tougher back when I played. You know, as from a schematic standpoint and just the knowledge that these coaches have and just the knowledge at their fingertips for as far as schematics and technique and drill work, I think the coaching profession has gotten better in that aspect as far as how much knowledge we have at our fingertips with all the internet stuff and clinics and just how open college coaches and are to accepting high school coaches to come in and learn ball. So I think the schematic aspects of it have gotten a lot more detailed and a lot more complex. But as far as the workload, no, I think California, just by law standpoint, has kind of taken workload off of those kids that we used to have to deal with when I played and even when I began coaching, you know. Because we used to come out of that Fresno State camp and we knew what team we had, you know. We knew. We'd scrimmage Clovis West. We'd scrimmage Bakersfield, you know, Centennial Corona would be down there. I mean, there was some great talent at that camp. I don't know. Did you ever go to those? Did you ever go? Oh, my gosh. Those were amazing camps. You'd find a lot out about your team. And you knew what you had to work on. And that happened right at the start of summer. So then you had the rest of the summer to kind of get ready for it. And then you had double days. You know, and double days back then could go back to back. Now it's, you can only do two, and then the next day has to be one, and then it's two and one, and so, and you can't be in pads until the end of it. So it's kind of, California's kind of taking the workload off the kids, where as far as like work and all that, but schematically, I think the coaches have gotten tremendously better.
Well, maybe I'm thinking more of simpler in the sense of you knew who your teammates were. You didn't have to worry about dudes transferring. The guys that you were playing tackle football with in your front yard when you're 8 years old were the guys that you were hitting with, right, in high school. Social media, you just played the dang game and that, took care of business. Maybe that's more where I'm kind of getting
at. No, it was – in that aspect, it was a simpler time because you didn't have to worry about transfers. You played for your school, and I think that's a beautiful thing. I think we were talking about with Marty off air, it's just like the whole transfer portal and NIL money has really trickled down, and now it's like kids want to leave as soon as they face a little adversity, or as soon as you coach them hard, they want to go to the next spot, or they want to go where people are just winning right away, and maybe not even play, just sit on the bench on a winning team, you know, which is, to me, that's not what high school sports is about. I love you know, what Madera did, and you know what we're trying to do is, if you're in a certain pyramid, you're going to that high school. Mm-hmm. And if you transfer, you're sitting out 365 to one of the other high schools in the district. Okay. Well, then now I can coach that kid hard. I can hold him to a high standard, you know, without worrying about him leaving or his parents, you know, picking him up and moving. I think, it was 100% a simpler time than that. You just played with the guys that you grew up with. And that's why that Clovis North team was so special, is because those kids grew up playing together, you know. So, much simpler time. I wish we would get back to that. Play for your high school.
Yeah, I mentioned that Clovis North program during that COVID year went 0-3 and got it handed to them. I think they only scored one touchdown in those three games, right? And then four years later, they had the season that they had last year. Talking with Joseph Ferris, we've got another couple minutes here with you. The edification of the soul, right, is important, and doing what you love, surrounding yourself with people that you enjoy, people that lift you up. Like, where do coaches find that, or where do you find it? Where do you think coaches find that the most?
I think you find it with the guys that you work really hard with, and you're sweating with, and you're grinding with, and you're really trying to figure things out, and you find it from your kids, you know, that you're coaching when they have a moment where they've grown, you know, if they've grown as a man, or if they've grown in a certain technique, or they've grown as a football player, and they're really respectful for that. You know, I had a kid that I've been working with since he was a freshman, and we've been through a lot together, trying to work and mentor him, and you know, he came up to me before the game and he said, "Coach, I love you." You know, like that's what it's about. That's what high school football is about. You want to get to the other stuff to go up to the next level. But high school football is about building relationships and mentoring young boys to become men. And then obviously you got to have a really good wife at home. You know, I get a lot of my strength from her and my kids, and I recharge and whatnot from that. And then, you know, just staying humble, you know, and knowing that, you know, we're all on this train not for so long. And then when we get off of it, it's going to keep on moving. And just hopefully we leave the place a little bit better than when we started there. And knowing that we're not going to please everybody, right? But as long as you can look the man in the mirror and be okay with that guy, then you've done a good job.
Well said, well said. And you know, I can't have a conversation with you without talking about some non-football stuff, yeah. Right? You know where I'm going with this. Yeah. All right, so Gerald Perucci, he's the head coach at Shafter. Yeah. And he's a Marvel guy and a Star Wars guy. He loves all that stuff. And I asked him if he was on a desert island, what would he choose as far as, like, what he could watch? So how about you? Like, if you were on a desert island and you could only choose one, like, source material that would, like, entertain you and you can have with you and get into whenever you want, what would it be?
Man, that's tough.
I'm asking a lot of tough questions today. Is this the toughest one?
This is a tough one. So let me ask you this. Is it the reading material or is it the movies?
Whatever you want. I know you're a big reader. So it's whatever you want.
Well, I'm just saying, so, you know, Star Wars does fall under Marvel.
Okay, yeah.
In the comics. Yeah. You know? So if I went Marvel, I'd get the best of both worlds.
Give me some specifics, though. What specific character or timeline, then?
Well, you know, I like Thrawn. Mm-hmm. You know,
mm-hmm. He's a tactician,
yeah,
like you.
I like that. He's, even though he's like a villain in the deal, mm-hmm. but I kind of like his story, and those books are pretty freaking good. That's a tough question, Paul.
Gosh,
that's a tough question.
Next time you're on, I'm gonna give you like a month to think about this. Next time you're on, we'll get a hard answer to that. I'm asking you about life lessons and coming out and, you know, game plans and schematics and Chicago Bears, but this is the one that stumped you.
It is. It is. And you gave me the question early, and I still can't figure it out.
Awesome. All right. Well, thanks for coming in. I appreciate you greatly. Good luck the rest of the way. You got, what, Sanger at home? 3 home games in a row? True story?
No.
Am I wrong on that? All right. No. I'll have to adjust that. So you got Sanger, Bullard, Edison, and then Madera.
Right. Bullard and Madera are away, and Edison will be our next home game.
Okay. All right. Got it. I can switch that up on a spreadsheet. So anyway, thank you for coming in. Appreciate you. You're a deep thinker, and love talking with you about all the good stuff that's going on in your life. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Paul. I appreciate you.
All right. That's Joseph Ferris, head coach at Justin Garza High School. We got Alec Nolan coming up next, sports anchor at ABC. And I see my daughter is here as well. She brought me some Starbucks, so I'm excited about that, and her friend as well. So good things are happening here at First String Sports. You're listening to 1430 ESPN. Welcome back to Central Valley Sports Report. This is our last segment. These 2 hours always fly by. I love talking with guys like Marty Bitter, Joseph Ferris. Last week we had Deegan Rose on the show, Oregon State commit. His Cougars are 6-0 on the season. And I'm going to bring in Alec Nolan. Does a fantastic job on ABC 30, sports anchor, and the Friday Night Lights at 11:15 on the dot, man. It's funny because sometimes – If I know I'm out late at a game, I'll like text my wife or call my wife. I'm like, make sure you record Friday Night Lights with Alec and Steven, because I don't know if I'm going to make it back in time. So I always make sure I try my best to get back in time.
We appreciate that, Paul. We appreciate that. We're always in a hurry to get in there, and it's down to the final second. And I would say it's probably the most fun, the most stressful thing we do.
But you guys are so natural at it. Right? I mean, even
well,
last
if
night,
it appears that way.
You know what I mean? You're doing all your things.
That's
and,
all right? Ad-libbing.
I know
that's
it is. Ad-libbing. That's what makes it great. I mean, you guys are natural. You obviously love high school sports and all that stuff shows, right? It doesn't necessarily seem like a job to you. It's
no,
fun.
No. I mean, we are genuinely excited to get out there and cover these teams, because to me, the Friday night football is so hyper local. It is so fun to highlight these kids in high school, maybe the small towns here and there. And this might be the only time that they get this kind of coverage. And be it on TV, to us, it's all about giving back to the community. And when we hear fans, parents, grandparents say, oh my God, we're going to watch our grandson tonight, that to us is what makes it worth it. So we love it. It's super fun, but it is stressful.
Yeah. But you guys get through, it's like, what, 20 minutes of stress? I mean, there's a certain phrase you might use for that. But you do your plays of the week, right? You guys got to clip those things, and you got to find
– We're moving.
You are moving. All right, so what stood out to you last night? We were able to cover the Clovis North and Central game, and that came Mattson interception.
I mean,
I could watch. I've seen four different angles of that play. I like my angle, the TV angle, a couple different on social media. Just – what an athlete. What a
dude. I mean, he is an absolute monster. And one of our photographers who shot the video actually mentioned something to me that I thought was interesting. He goes, he's big. He's not too big, but he overwhelms everything around him. And I thought that was a perfect description of him, is that, yes, he is what, 6'2", probably 225, you know, tremendous athlete. He's fast, but he doesn't look like he's that fast, but he's faster than you think. He's a little bigger than you think. He's smart. He's capable of playing safety, running back. I think you could throw him at D-line if you wanted. I think you could tell him to throw the ball, and he could do it as well. State champion in shot put, state champion in discus. I mean, he is the guy in the high school movie that's like the big guy on campus and the guy who does it all. He's blonde, good-looking kid, smart, funny, clever, can do it all in the football field. So he is a monster, and he is overwhelming. That, to me, was the biggest play of the night, only because that was the difference. They won by 5 points. There was six right there. So Central easily could have beat them if they got him in the right position. But McKay Mattson, being as good as he is, swallowed that whole play up, and that was the difference. But I would say the biggest takeaway as well was Clovis East absolutely running all over Clovis West. And I think they showed last night that, hey, there is a difference here. Yes, we are the track, and it is competitive, but there's a difference between some of the big dogs at the top.
And you know, walking out of the stadium last night, I'm carrying my equipment, got my backpack on, and right in front of me are two guys that look like football guys with BYU hats on. Right, so of course I gotta bend their ear a bit. So you guys are still going hard after McKay? They're like, yeah, we're got our fingers crossed. We hope, you know, it's an incredible family, incredible athlete. We want him really bad. So yeah, he's a one of one, man. I don't know. I've watched high school football for a long time and followed a long time. You know, it's like a once-a-decade kind of athlete.
100%, 100%. And he's a good kid.
Yeah.
Great kid.
So next week, Clovis East and Clovis square off. Cal Prep's number one against number two. Both teams undefeated at 6-0. Wish I could be there. We're doing Hanford-Tulare, which is going to be a great game. So
thoughts on
that game? Like, I don't know. Pick them. Like,
yeah, I mean, Clovis East, to me, they just have so many weapons, right? I mean, you've got Ty Miller, who can do it all, and back there. He kind of reminds me of a Kyler Murray type. He can just make things happen. He's a little undersized, tremendous athlete, great baseball player. You got Donyell Booker Jr. You got Lindsey Graves, the running back. As soon as he hits the second level, the guy is gone. You've got Harold Duvall. I mean, so many weapons for Clovis East. I think that's what separates them. On the other side, Clovis High, they don't have as many horses, but they've got a guy named Deegan Rose, as you said, Oregon State commit. Out of all the quarterbacks I've seen in my 3 years of covering football here, he's the most impressive. And I actually don't think it's an argument. Size, just matureness, his ability to process. I mean, just watching him last night, he's just going through his progressions. You know, this is a very mature quarterback, and this is a D1 quarterback. And so to me, that is always the ace in the hole. Can he come into any team? And you might feel like, hey, I don't care what the rankings say. I don't care who we're playing. We got Deegan Rose. We feel like we got the best football player on the field. We've got a chance. With that being said, it's high school football. Anything can happen. These are 16 to 18-year-olds. Everybody wants to look at things on paper and say, well, this only makes sense for Clovis East to win. But stranger things have happened. So, yeah, I give Clovis High a puncher's chance. But Clovis East right now, they just have some absolute dudes on the outside. And Lindsey Graves, to me, is probably the most underrated or under-talked about running back.
I agree. Actually, I jumped ahead. That's going to be week three. So next week it's North and Clovis East and Central on that Thursday. My bad. But anyway, that's a great – I mean, who knows? They might be 7-0 going into that game. But, yeah, great analysis there. What – you know, we hit on this a little bit, and you mentioned the great – what you guys are able to do with Friday Night Lights and get you know, the players out there get their names and get to be on TV. What's like a really cool story? So you mentioned somebody, you mentioned, you know, like, hey, you know, my grandson was on. I get to see my grandson. What's another, you have another cool story about that?
Well, just to me, I think when you go out there, just kind of the warm embrace that these towns will give you. And I love going to the small towns. Mind you, you know, our sports director, Stephen Hicks, is definitely more so in the Clovis, Fresno area just because he's got to get back before I do. So he'll cover a lot of the big games in town. I will then go to the South Valley. Maybe I'm in Visalia, Reedley. Maybe I go up north. You know, I've been to Dos Palos games. I've been to Los Banos games. When you walk into those small towns, they roll out the red carpet. What do you need? How can we get it to you? Thank you so much for being here. Here's a free tri-tip sandwich. You need a Gatorade. You need water. What do you need from us? And to me, to have that kind of a warm embrace from them is awesome because we're there to highlight their kids. It's not about me. It's not about ABC 30. It's about the kids. And if we can bring that to the television screen and put that out there, that's why we do what we do. So I don't think there's any one particular moment, but it's certainly the small towns and how they feel when we arrive. And you have to understand, my mom is from Carruthers, Easton area, small town. So when I go to places like that, see those kids smiling and the energy that you feel when you're there, that to me is definitely what makes it worth it. But there's always stories. I mean, it's endless.
I wonder if we went back in time, this was before I got into covering high school sports, if we went to Fireball and watched Josh Allen play football, what would we come away with? Like, could we envision, you know, 10 to 12 years later that he's the football player that he is? I wonder.
No, I don't know. And, you know, he was just a little bit younger than me at the time, and I don't remember people talking about him as much. I mean, when I was a senior, the athlete everybody talked about was Christian Rossi. He was our quarterback. He was our shortstop. You know, had the offer to play baseball at Fullerton. Could have played football as well. He eventually did. And I've asked Tony C., the head coach at Fresno City, why didn't you pick Josh Allen? He goes, we had a quarterback. I said, who? He goes, you know him. I was like, oh, Christian.
Oh.
And so, you know, that's always kind of thrown back there because at the time we just didn't know. Social media was not what it exactly is now. But, man, what it would have been like to go back there? I think he was just raw. I think he probably was like a wild Mustang that just hadn't learned how to use his body yet. Even when he came into the NFL, I mean, his accuracy wasn't great. And they used to say, you know, quarterback accuracy, maybe you can't teach it, maybe it doesn't get better. He got better, and he continues to get better. And so I think he was just a tremendous athlete that finally got resources, finally got people that could blossom him into what he is now. Had he been, you know, had he existed right now, he probably would have transferred somewhere because that's kind of the way things are now. But at the time, he stayed in Fireball and he was local. And I mean, he's just a freak. He's 6'5, 250, good golfer. He can play basketball. He can play baseball. He can jump over a 300 pound lineman. I mean, he's just, to me, his peak is as high as any peak in the NFL.
You talked about Deegan Rose. And the patience that he has, right?
Yeah.
We've seen that in his progressions. Just when we covered their game a couple weeks ago, the Buller game, everything was calm. His feet were calm. And I think Josh had maybe a little bit of a hyper-hypo kind of way of playing football, right? He's a football player,
Oh, yeah.
A quarterback. But now it's just, you just see how calm he is. Obviously, last week, you know, didn't go his way against the Ravens. But his mechanics, like, he doesn't, I don't think he has to really think about that much. He's playing football, but his progressions are just so smooth right now.
I actually think when you remove a wide receiver like a Stephon Diggs, it sounds bad on paper, but I actually think it's ultimately good for the quarterback personal development wise. I mean, when Tom Brady got rid of Randy Moss, everyone thought, oh my God, he's losing this great weapon. They never won a ring when Randy Moss was there. He leaves, they bring in, you know, low level wide receivers you've never heard of, they ring off three more rings. Josh Allen, to me, when you get the monkey off your back to not have to worry about giving the ball to Diggs, I've got to make him happy. Look what happened with Baker Mayfield and Odell Beckham Jr. In Cleveland. As soon as he came into the picture, everyone's like, oh, Super Bowl or bust, let's go. He felt pressured to get the ball to OBJ. It didn't work. Baker then takes a step back, goes to L.A., learns under Sean McVay, goes to Tampa, where his best wide receiver, Mike Evans, is probably the least diva of any of the wideouts out there. Now he's blossoming. And I think Josh now feels comfortable, like, I don't have to do too much, and I can give the ball to wherever I think is best, and I don't have to worry about Diggs crying or complaining. So I actually think it's good for Josh Allen that Diggs is not there anymore.
Oh, yeah, agree 100%, right? And you hear about these wide receivers, I'm open. Give me the ball. I'm always open. And, you know, the fights with Mayfield and Beckham on the sidelines and jawing at each other, right?
Like, it's too much. It's too much. And there's so many good, talented players. You don't need to rely on one person. And I think Josh understands that now.
Well, we're rooting for him. And, yeah, we call him our own for a reason, right?
Oh, yeah.
He's a Central Valley kid. He's tough. He's gritty. He's got that chip on his shoulder. It's gone a long way. You know, you mentioned off air, we're talking about your time in Santa Barbara and what a neat experience that was for you. So you've seen a few different areas, obviously Clovis North and Santa Barbara, and then back to the Valley. What is special about Central Valley athletes? Think about Josh Hokett as well, right? You just think about these guys that just bleed Central Valley, blue collar, hardworking, no stars, one star, two, it doesn't matter, right? These dudes are just built different. What have you seen as you've gone around the different areas?
Yeah, I think there's a chimp on the shoulder, and I know that gets used a lot nowadays. You know, people doubted us. People didn't. I remember Georgia winning the national championship when they repeated, and they were like, people doubted us. No, they didn't. Knock it off. I don't know when that started, but I can tell you, a lot of kids that get recruited out of here feel that way. I'm overlooked. I'm not talked about enough. Everyone tells me that, you know, the San Francisco kids are better, or LA kids are better, San Diego. So I think there's very much an innate chip on my shoulder. I had that. Now, I knew I wasn't going to be a Division I athlete by any means, but I knew, hey, I'm the first kid in my family to go to college. My parents hadn't gone to college. I've got to figure this out for myself. I don't have the privilege and benefits of all these other kids. So there's a chip, and then that grows, and it sort of fuels everything. And then if you look at the NFL landscape, I mean, to have two – there's only 32 of these jobs. To have two of those guys be from around this area, to me, is very special. And I think Josh just never felt like he was too good for the situation, never felt like he was better than the situation. He had to earn everything. All those emails he sent to all those recruiters – to go to Wyoming and be in the elements like that. You know what I thought about the other day? He's lived in Laramie and Buffalo. I mean, this guy has not had it easy. Those are some of the most harshest environments that can exist in football. And he's never complained. He's always on to the next. And so I think there's just that mentality of we're not better than the situation because you come from a place that doesn't tell you that we're better than everybody. We know we're not. And we don't act like we are. We know that there are probably nicer places to live or better education here or the private schools up north or down south. That's fine. But that doesn't make you any different than me. We're both human beings at the end of the day. We bleed the same blood. So I just think there's that mentality of acceptance and having a humble approach to once I do get these resources and once I do get a hold of something and someone believes in me, now I can take it even a step further.
And we identify a lot with Fresno State, right? The grittiness, the, Valley born, Valley bred, right? Like just the mentality that Fresno has. However, last week was not a good game for Fresno State. It was ugly. That's a good way to put it succinctly. What would you like to see Fresno State do next week against Washington State?
Well, I think that game was sort of one of those things where you could never get ahead. They were just always behind the sticks, always behind the sticks. I mean, four interceptions thrown. Each of the quarterbacks threw an interception. Mikey had two. Joshua Wood had one. Jaden Mandel had another. The thing that stood out to me, and you can look at the stats. I had pulled them up earlier. 30 rushing attempts, okay? 30 yards. I mean, you're not going to win many football games doing that. And so to me, unless you're controlling the line of scrimmage, unless you're pushing the pace, unless you're able to sort of bring things back down to your level of play, you're always going to be playing catch-up. And then you put Mikey in third and long situations. You're not chewing up the clock. You give it right back to UNLV. Your defense hasn't had any time to rest. No wonder they run for 252 rushing yards on you. You guys are gassed. You guys are tired. And so I just think they were totally outmatched, outphased in all three phases. And UNLV, I mean, they lost last night, but that's a very good team. I'm not going to discredit their rushing game and their run defense. Barry Odom clearly knows what he's doing. But Fresno State has not run the ball well. They just haven't. I think Malik Sherrod would be the first one to tell you he has underperformed. As a senior, he wanted this to be a big stamp on the year. He wasn't chosen to be preseason this or that. All the love going to Ashton Janti at Boise, which is deserved.
Very deserved.
But Malik is sitting there like, hey, man, what about me? And he's battled some injuries, but they need to come out and run the ball. I mean, enough of – you know, the pass game can be what it is. Unless you can control the line of scrimmage and time of possession, you stand no chance against Boise. I mean, if UNLV is going to run for 252 against them, what's Janty going to do? He might have 250 by half.
He might. 300.
I'm serious. I mean, he's terrifying.
Yeah. So next week, what would you like to see? Just more consistency in the run game? I feel like that's been an issue all year, right? So is it the offensive line, or is it Sherrod, or is it time to give Bryson Donaldson more carries?
It's funny. I saw Donaldson last night at the CVC game. And what an awesome running back he was in high school. I mean, pure electricity, right?
Unbelievable.
Probably the best running back we had seen in the last couple years. And to me, it's just a matter of – and McCann mentioned this, the offensive coordinator, Pat McCann. He said, we're just not finishing. Mm. You know, the hole is there. We don't hit it hard enough. You know, the hole is there, and our left guard doesn't hang on to the block long enough. They feel like they're right there. And they do have a stable of running backs. And they love Aaron Pryor, their running backs coach, who is friends and has known McCann for a long time. They're definitely on the same page. But to me, I think it's a matter of you can't just rely on throwing the ball everywhere in this Mountain West. It's just not the way it's going to work. You're going to deal with elements. You're going to have to go to Nevada. You know, there's going to be times where you have to go to Wyoming, Boise. You can't just air raid it out. And so to me, it's more of a matter of do you have a will that you can impose on somebody else? And at this moment in time, they have not, over the last week, shown that, hey, when it comes down to it and we need to just run the ball and impose our will, they haven't been able to do it. And the rush defense, surprisingly, has not been good.
Yeah, that has been surprising. Yeah, I thought they'd be better this year. We got about another minute here with Alec Nolan. Mikey Keene, what are your impressions so far with him this year? A little shaky, arm strength an issue, I think, you know, watching
I'm always careful about how I talk because this can get you into some trouble. I'll say this. He's small. And I know that sounds stupid, and people go, oh, well, Drew Brees is one of one. That's a Hall of Famer. I'm 5'7", 5'8". I'm not a big guy. Mikey is not much bigger than I am, height-wise. Obviously, he's bigger. I think that creates some problems in terms of having lanes to throw. He's not a dual threat. If you're going to be that small or that short, you got to move. And so to me, I just think he's not getting enough protection. And once he's under duress, he cannot take that kind of violence. He just simply cannot. His body cannot withstand it. So they need to do a better job of just getting the ball out quickly. And if you have that run game, that's a quarterback's best friend.
Good stuff from Alec Nolan. Appreciate you coming in. You guys got to make sure you check out Friday Night Lights, the show at 11:15 sharp. Does a fantastic job. I always rush home to make sure I watch the guys do their job and get some highlights so I can talk about it next week or the next day on the show. So appreciate you coming in.
Thank you, Paul.
All right, that's it for today. Thank you to Lee's Air Plumbing and Heating, First String Sports, Jeremiah Cunningham for producing the show, Gabe Camarillo, Yosef Ferris, Marty Bitter, and Alec Nolan, who just did a great job talking high school sports and Fresno State football. Thank you guys for listening. Really appreciate you. We'll talk to you next week.